Good morning, girls. This is Darla Shine, happy housewife number one. Yes, I am taking the number one credit for being the number one happy housewife. And we have Erin, who
good
is...
Good morning.
Good morning. Who's at home? And I hear your little ones are out there. Who's
home
today?
Oh, yes. We're hanging out in the kitchen. All three of them are here today. The older two, my twins that are four, go to preschool Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And this is Tuesday, so they're home with me. So
okay,
yeah,
so crazy
it's been a crazy
days.
Morning already. Oh yeah, we're getting new windows, so the window guy was here, and
so
we just finished
good.
Breakfast, and I'm trying to clean up the kitchen, and you know, typical morning around here.
Well, you know, I'm watching Rachel Ray right now as I'm talking to you, and she's got a cute set. I think she's doing a good job with her show. I think it should be my show, not Rachel Ray's show. But besides
you
that.
Can do that.
So let me tell you what happened yesterday. I really wanted Martha to come on this morning because I know her husband's a school teacher, so I was going to pick her brain. But maybe I actually shouldn't have her on because her husband's a school teacher, because I'm about to trash the whole public school system.
Oh, no. What happened? Did something happen with one of your kids?
Well, Connor goes to public school, so does my daughter Hannah. Connor's in fourth grade. So listen to this story. My son, who is brilliant, who does great on all his tests, who got a perfect score on this standardized state testing, he's a very smart boy. So last year, he was bored to death in school. Now, last year, I was on national radio doing the Good Day Show with Doug Steffen, and I was constantly saying how upset I was with the public school system. And anyway, I was fighting the school system, and I enforced them to give Connor more work to do. Can you imagine I had to force them to give him
That's
more work?
Funny. Well, but see, I mean, you're his mother. You know he needs to be challenged.
So. Right. So this year, okay, he starts his first day of school, and I find out that he's in an inclusion class. And what that is they take the smartest children, and then the children at the bottom, you know, of the tier, the kids who need help, the learning disabled children, they put them together.
Okay.
So I was very upset. So I called the principal. I said, how does this help my son? Isn't he going to be held back? I mean, you have to go slower if half the kids are learning disabled, don't you think?
I would think. I'm not quite sure how it works. So
just, you just say yes. Go along with everything I say.
Okay, yes. Yes, definitely. Absolutely. They would have to go slower.
Right. So anyway, the principal's assuring me that their assistants in the class, two assistant teachers, are not going to go slower. Make a long story short, over the past 2 weeks, Connor's teacher, can you believe this, Erin, has been out for 10 days. 10 days. Okay?
At the beginning of the school year. Hmm.
And school has been in session for 13 days so far.
Yeah, what's going on?
So not only is he in a class with half the kids are learning disabled, he also has a different substitute every day. So on Friday, Erin, he gets this substitute. Who is the substitute from hell? Like this crazy, nasty, horrid woman. She tells my son, Connor was trying to defend one of these little boys who was learning disabled. She was yelling at him. So my son tried to defend this child. So he said, he raises his hand and says to the teacher, he just doesn't understand the problem. That's what was Connor, what Connor said. Because she kept saying to the boy, why don't you get it? Why don't you get it? So Connor goes, she doesn't understand. He doesn't understand the problem. Then she goes, well, you know what? You're a problem. To my son. So not only do I want to go kick this woman in the ass. So I call up the principal. Make a long story short, I said to her, what corporate job could you have where you could be gone, really, 10 days out of 13 days and not get fired?
Yeah, especially at the beginning of, you know, when you start a new job or you start a new project, you can't be gone right then. I mean, that's...
Right.
That's,
so,
wow, that's crazy.
Wait, it gets better. So she assured me on Friday that Mrs. DeFranco, who's Connor's teacher, would be in school today and everything would be normal, which was yesterday, actually, Monday. Connor was sick yesterday, didn't go to school, but I found out from another mom that Mrs. DeFranco was out. She's going to be out all week. So the principal sends home a letter saying this. Are you ready? The school teacher, Mrs. DeFranco's mother, is dying. She's in hospice, and Mrs. DeFranco is the primary caretaker. And so she's juggling, taking care of her mother and her class, and she's making sure that the substitutes have all the work, the curriculum. Now, this is my question, Erin. Her mother is in critical condition and didn't just start dying now. This teacher should have never started the school year. Am I right? She should have taken a sabbatical. She should have not started the school year. And I just think that it is ridiculous that I have to deal with this. What do you think?
Well, I feel bad for the woman. Her mom is dying, for God's sake.
I feel bad for her, too.
Well,
but last year,
is it her responsibility or is it the school's responsibility to make sure and say, look, why don't you take a break? We'll get somebody in here who's qualified to take care of your class. And is it the school's responsibility or is it the teacher's? I don't know.
First of all, as a woman, if I was in her position, I would say, you know what? Why am I starting the school year? I should stay home and be with my mother and take a sabbatical. On the school's point of view, they should have said, you know what? We had this problem. I found out, Erin, that this lady was taking care of her mother last spring and for the last 2 months of the school year was gone almost every day.
Wow.
Oh, who's crying?
My youngest Wyatt, he climbs up on the bar stools and then gets stuck up there and can't get down. So then it's, you know, mommy to the rescue.
But my problem is this. I think that in the public school system, once the teachers get their tenure, they think that they can do anything they want. And guess what?
Well,
they
that
can.
I agree with. Yeah, that I agree with.
They do.
Once they get tenure, they just think they can, you know, can be gone. I think they get, sometimes teachers can get lazy.
And, you know, I am always defending teachers. I think they should be paid more. They educate our children. But this is what I want. I think teachers should be tested every year, just the way our students are tested. My son has to take – listen, my son and your children have to take a test at the end of the year to see if they can go to the next grade. I think the teachers should get tested every year to see if they are making the grade. Why is it that a teacher – yeah, this Nazi substitute woman who's coming into class and being mean to my son, right? Why is she able to stay as a teacher? Why?
I don't know.
It's like,
yeah,
once,
that's an interesting – my husband in the military, he has to take it – yeah, my husband has to take a test to advance, so.
First of all, if you're in the corporate America in the real world, if you have a job – You have to live up to those standards. You have to make your sales numbers, or you have to produce whatever product you're producing. Am I right?
Yeah, accountability, correct.
So what is the accountability? Is it grades? Is it passing or failing? I want to know what it is.
Yeah. Well, I know they've tried to do – that's the standardized test. They're trying to hold the teachers accountable for what the kids are learning. And if the kids are learning, then they think
the teachers are
teaching. But that doesn't necessarily mean,
anything either.
So.
George Bush has passed this thing, this No Child Left Behind. It's a horror. It's a horror. And I'm going to tell you why. What happens is all the schools now are focusing on this one test, passing the test. Because if the kids do not pass this test, they – the school does not get their financial funding from the federal government. So all the schools are horrified about losing any money, God forbid.
Right.
And so they're focusing, everything is on this ELA, the standardized test that every child in America is getting each year. So I said this to the principal. I said, I actually said it to the school board. What's happening now is all the kids are focusing the whole year on this one test, and they're not learning anything else.
Right.
And the whole test, it's so ridiculous. It's all about reading and writing. Now, it's great. Is this ridiculous? It's great for our kids to read. But why is this president focusing so much on the kids reading when he's letting all these people in who don't read and who refuse to read English? It makes no sense.
Oh, my.
Like, all
That's
of our kids
That's a funny
are being,
way to think about it.
Yeah, all of our kids are being penalized, right? Yet, go anywhere and everything is in English and Spanish. So are we going to have an English country or are we going to have a bilingual country? What are we having? I don't know what
I
we're
know.
Having.
Yeah. I would love to hear you get George Bush on a podcast. That's what I would love.
Oh, as if he would ever come on my podcast.
I know.
But you know what I'm saying?
I'm sure, but
it doesn't make any sense. In fact, this is what I want to know. I'm really bent about this issue. I don't mind if we're going to be a bilingual country, then let's be a bilingual country. You know what? Then my son should be offered Spanish. Why aren't they teaching the kids both languages starting in kindergarten?
Really? Your kids don't learn a second language?
No, they're not yet. My son is in fourth grade. My daughter is in first. And in our school, it's not offered. I don't think they start until high school.
Wow. Because I know in many, many public schools coming from where I originally came, Texas and Oklahoma, where Texas is now one of the states where Caucasians are a minority, Hispanics are the majority now, they do teach Spanish starting in kindergarten.
You know, both of my kids
but
have
maybe.
Both of my kids have blue eyes and blonde hair. So I said to my husband, I am going to make sure they marry only people with blue eyes and blonde hair. Think about it, because in like 20 years, there's going to be like four people in this country with blue eyes and blonde hair. because everyone is, you know, migrating together. And my neighbor, her husband is darker and she's lighter, and they made the most beautiful baby. The baby is like, you know, has blondish hair with the dark skin. It's like
that's
a dream come true.
That's how my youngest did.
Right, all of us.
That's how my youngest.
Yeah, all of us, our whole lives, what are we doing? Everyone's trying to get a tan.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So you have a baby like that with, you know, darker skin?
Yeah, my husband, like I said, was Hispanic. He's Mexican, which, you know, we could get into that whole deal because I talked to my mother-in-law some more after you and I talked. But so that's another story. But, yeah, he's got the dark Mexican skin, but he has white, white blonde hair. And then he has brown eyes. So he's a cutie. And he knows how to work it, too. He's a big flirt. So
he's a cutie.
He's learning early.
But do you see what I'm saying with the hypocrisy? You cannot have this ELA standardized test with the kids all year, have to learn how to write proper English and put the grammar in the correct place, but it's only good for a certain population.
Yeah,
right?
I do see that. That's an inconsistency, correct?
It's an inconsistency. It's not fair. And in the meantime, it's just ridiculous that we're not going to make it for everyone. Then all the kids, you know, the Spanish kids who are here, they don't even have to do this. They're like exempt from taking this course, this class. They're like given, you know, English as a second language class if they even want it. We have some people in our district who the parents say, we don't even want our kids to learn English. They're refusing to have their kids learn English. And they're allowed to get away with that.
Right. I talked to my mother-in-law about that, and she and her husband, he was a physician. They came to the United States for him to do his residency. And I asked her about it. I said, when did you learn English, and when did you become a citizen? And, you know, I was asking just to get her a point of view, and she said that she could not wait to get her citizenship here because she felt like a fraud for living here without being a citizen. And she learned how to speak English by watching soap operas.
She's
watched them over and over. Yeah, but she wanted to.
Erin, you cannot compare your in-laws, your father was a physician, your mother-in-law, they came here, they fit into society, they bought a house, you know, they raised their children here. My family, my father's family is from Germany, my mother's family is from Italy, everybody's an immigrant. This is a country made
of
immigrants.
Of course.
But my problem is that we're letting, you know, people are sneaking in, thousands each night. We're letting them come here. They're not paying taxes in America. They're taking jobs from Americans. It's not fair, and it's not fair to all the people who come here the right way.
That's correct. That was my point. That's what my mother-in-law said. She said she doesn't have a problem with people coming either, but she said you have to do it legally, and if you're going to be a citizen, you have to follow the laws.
Right. And you know
Yeah.
No matter what race you are, it's just bad. It's really bad to have 80 men living together in one house, no matter where you are. We are building.
Or the back of a trailer somewhere.
If you start looking around this country, okay, I've been all over this country over the past year doing my mom tour, and if you start looking around, you could see behind all, you know, a lot of the building places, you know, anywhere that there's a building supply store or a nursery, I'm looking and I'm actually seeing these like shanty shacks with lots of men living in it. They have their workers. Go to a farm and see the way they're housing the workers. First of all, it's deplorable living conditions for these people. It's disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
We should not allow any body to live like that in America. That's number one. Number two, it's dangerous, I think, to have 80 men with their wives back in Mexico living in a house together. It's just, to me, it's just a fiasco waiting to happen. Am I right?
I'm sure. I don't think I would be caught dead in the middle of that.
And
so
let me
too
tell
much tough
stuff
thrown in one place.
Right, and I am really bent about this whole issue, and I'm going to tell you why. When Bill and I first got married, we moved to this town, Farmingville, and there was actually an HBO special made about our town. This is a town that was, you know, I grew up over here. I mean, I lived in this town for many years, and Bill and I bought a house there when we first got married. Anyway, a local nursery, you know, a place that grows shrubs, you know, a big nursery.
Yeah,
They started bringing in, by busload, illegal men. And, you know, I don't know where they were from, if they were from Guatemala. What is that?
Okay, the baby just bit one of the four-year-olds.
Okay,
so your nursery brought in illegals.
So anyway, to make a long story short, they started living behind this nursery. And there were hundreds of them by the end of the year. The town went crazy because all these men are living in these, like, makeshift boxes behind this nursery. It was deplorable. It was horrible. And my backyard was pretty close to where this nursery was. 4 a.m., I would have, like, hundreds of men cutting through my yard. I'm nursing with Connor hanging on my boob. And I have these men, you know, walking through my yard. It's just disgusting. I don't care where the men were from. They don't belong there. Make a long story short, all the women in the town, we were picketing, we were rioting. HBO came and made a special.
Wow.
And it's called Farmingville. You can all view it. And
Farmingville. Wow, you were famous before you were famous.
Oh, I'm always starting a riot somewhere. Yeah, but and so I had to sell my house and move out of that neighborhood. Can you imagine? And I'm sorry, I am bitter about it. So I just, you know, I have all these issues. But the bottom line is this. If you're going to come to this, this is what I say. If you come into America, you should learn how to speak English. Mm-hmm. Period. And you should pay taxes here. Because I have to pay taxes. Do you pay taxes, Erin?
I do.
We all have to pay taxes. And when, you know, we have this huge population who's not paying their taxes, who are working on cash, you know, and sending it back to their country, it makes me very mad. And this is supposed to be a non-political show, but we happy housewives have opinions about these things.
Of course. That's what, it frustrates me when people think because you decided to stay at home with your kids and take care of your house and your family that all of a sudden you don't have opinions and you're not intellectual about political things going on. And, yeah, so of course we do. We all have opinions.
And you know what? Speaking of politics, this time in our lives is so important to all these moms. We're all at home. Our children, really. I'm scared for our children. We are in so much debt in this country, Erin, that our kids are going to have to pay this debt off. So I'm thinking right now, what are my children going to do? How can they live here? How can they buy a house? What are they going to do? So these are all the things going on in my mind right now. And college. I was watching.
That scares me to death.
God, I mean, to go to away to four-year college, forget about if you want to go to Ivy League, just a regular college. The average price is $40,000 a year.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
So no.
If you have three, four
kids. And I've
got
two going at the, I've got three, but I've got two going at the same time, and I don't,
Every state, you need to, moms, you need to look online, start looking at college saving programs. I know that a lot of the states have a program where you can put money away each week, each month, and the state, you know, pitches in money towards it. And then if the children go to school in your state, it's the most affordable way to do it. So, like, if your kids go to Texas, somewhere in Texas, it's much more affordable. Well, you're not in Texas.
But we're military, so we're residents of Texas. That way, we live in Wisconsin, but we're not residents.
So that's good because your kids could go to Texas.
Correct.
And that would be much cheaper. But I am scared. I am terrified. I don't know what the kids – I don't know how all of our kids are going to be able to make a living in this country.
Yeah, well, mine better be straight-A students because so they'll get scholarships or something because, we're not going to be able to pay for it all.
Yeah, and on Sunday morning on one of the news shows I was watching, they said that more than ever kids are going to college. There are 500,000 more kids applying to college every single year. And so what's happening, it's getting harder and harder for the kids to even get admitted to college. And the requirements and the criteria to get in are getting harder. So what does a kid have to do? I mean, what do you do? I already have and they said it's not only just the grades, it's all the extracurricular activities, you know, the community.
Right,
community involvement and playing sports. And, you know, I had no idea that, you know, being on the tennis league was going to help you get into college, but evidently it does.
Right. Yeah. Apparently. I guess that's a good thing if your kid plays tennis.
My kids don't play tennis. I'm screwed. You know, but they have to get involved in some kind of sport and show, I guess, that they're a team player.
Right, right.
At some level. Is your baby okay?
He's fine.
Are you neglecting your baby? Are you being a bad mama?
No, he is 18 months old, and he is learning to exert his opinions on things.
Oh, but pick him up. Give him a snack or something. Don't neglect the baby. Erin's a bad mother. Hi.
I'm not gonna say hi, Darla.
Hi.
He's just whining.
You know,
he's gotten to that point where he's learned that if he, you know, cries and fusses, then somebody comes and takes care of him.
I know, but why shouldn't somebody take care of him? I know that they're so young for such a short time. You got to spoil them.
Yeah. This is my last one, so I know. I like to snuggle with him and
go take care of your baby. Let's hang up now because I ranted and raved for long enough. I think the girls are done hearing me for today.
All right, well, what are you doing today? What have you got going on?
Well, I should go get my hair highlighted because I'm walking around with roots. My hair looks, yeah, I look really bad. But I cannot stand going and sitting in the salon for 2.5 hours.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that drives me crazy, too. I keep thinking of all the things I should be doing instead of sitting there with under the dryer or whatever.
I know. You know, also, I just read, I want all the girls to go start reading Mercola.com and Chris Gupta, C-H-R-I-S-G-U-P-T-A, mm-hmm. at, we'll put up the website on the main page. And I want everyone to start going to these websites because, what is it, at alumni.com? I can't remember what it is, but there are so many stories coming out and news stories about hair dye that actually can cause cancer. Do you know about this?
You know, I read a little bit about it when I was pregnant because, you know, it can. There were some theories that it could harm the baby and all. And so I read a little bit about it then.
Well, I don't know what to do. I mean, I get my hair highlighted and I tell them not to let the hair dye touch, you know, not to let it touch my scalp.
Right.
But it's true. I mean, fake fingernails, hair dye, you know, aluminum in the deodorant that we use under our arms every day. All of these toxins get absorbed into our bloodstream.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's toxic for our bodies. So, you know, I'm on the edge here and I'm thinking maybe I should just let my hair grow out. Maybe I should just go back to being, you know, a dirty, you know, my hair is like dirty blonde.
Uh-huh.
You know, dark blonde, like a light brown.
Right.
So, and I've been highlighting it since college. I think I would go into shock if I saw myself without blonde highlights.
Yep, you might not know yourself.
I think I'm going to go into shock. But
well, I know there's, you can, well, when I was pregnant, I asked for natural color. I mean, there's ways they can do it, use organics and things that, you know, don't get into your bloodstream and stuff. So, I don't know, that's an option. But
I don't think they have natural color for lightening. When you're bleaching your hair, can they do that?
It's not. I used to get highlights, and it used to be, a natural, I don't even know. I know they use, like, henna and things for the reds, and I don't know what they would use for the blondes, but I think marigold and something else. But I did do it when I was pregnant, so I know there's ways that ask them about it. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to look
into
that.
Now, it might not work as good.
I'm going to look into that. And what's going on with you? I heard you told me you're going to make some pumpkin recipes today.
Yeah, a while ago, I had pumpkin pancakes. And so I've been looking for this recipe for pumpkin pancakes and finally found it. So, I got to get stuff for that because tomorrow I want to do pumpkin pancakes with boys. And we did pumpkin muffins, and they're gone. And
I make pumpkin pancakes all the time. I love
them. Do you really?
Yeah, but you know what? The trick is you have got to you cannot make them too thick because they do not cook in the center. You've got to make sure that you thin your batter out a little bit.
Maybe that's what I'm doing.
Real pumpkin or canned pumpkin?
You know, I love real pumpkin, but our pumpkins are still all whole. We haven't cut them or anything, so I have to use the canned stuff right now.
Yeah, you could use the canned pumpkin. And I actually have my pumpkin pancake recipe, which was from CookingLight.com, which is my favorite cooking magazine. And,
We should put a bunch of pumpkin recipes up on the website.
Let's do that. Let's focus them on the main page with a few little cute pictures.
Sounds good.
I love that idea. And, you know, Martha's...
Also, everybody, if you have pumpkin recipes, send them in, please.
Yeah, send them in. And I have a pumpkin soup recipe, which I love.
Ooh, that would be good.
Which I have to send in. But you have to make it with real pumpkin, not the canned.
Oh, for the soup.
Yeah, and you know, it's so easy. Yeah. You get the small sugar pumpkins, and you just put it in the oven and, like, you know, cut a hole in it and, like, let it bake for an hour. Go out and play, then come back, and then you could just, you know, cut it open, scoop it out, and use it for your soup. Basically, for the pumpkin pancakes, it's just used, like, just no different than if you would make a regular pancake batter and put mashed banana in. You're just going to put you're going to put, like, a half a cup of pumpkin puree in.
Yeah.
So it's, yum. You know, it's the same thing, but the problem is you got to make sure they're not too thick because otherwise it stays raw in the center.
Right. Maybe that's what I'm doing.
So cook it on a low, you know, you have a griddle, cook it on a low flame.
Right.
Let it cook through. And I have my big pancake griddle that I pull out, which I love. My kitchen has to be redone. I do not
What's
have enough room.
You have a beautiful kitchen.
I do not have enough room in my kitchen to cook.
Well, if you're going to do a cooking show like Rachel Ray, you're definitely going to have a bigger kitchen.
Well, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to set up cameras within a few months. I'm going to have cameras in my kitchen, and we're going to have on our website, Erin, I'm going to do a live real cooking show.
Ah, how fun.
That's what we're going to do, and I'm going to set it up so the podcast and the cooking show and everything goes together, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And how is our transfer coming along? Are we transferred over yet?
Well, we're still working on it. I spoke too soon. I thought everything was going well, and so we're having a few issues. Not that anyone will notice on the website and the forums. It's kind of all behind the scenes, but I'm hoping today we'll be all finished with it. So.
All right, so that's good. We have got to move forward. Our girls are anxious. We girls, to all my members out there, we have 20,000. I was looking at my email address book. I mean, do you know over the past year, I added it all up. I did some kind of calculation. And over 20,000 women have written to me.
That's amazing. That is really amazing.
And I've responded to 20,000 women. And it's funny because last night I couldn't sleep, and I just happened to, like, pick a few, like, here and there to look at. And, like, every woman starts the same way. I know you're not going to read this.
Right. Well, everybody that's on the site that says, "Darla, emailed me back. I couldn't believe it." But you are very good about getting back to women, and I'm sure they're thrilled to get an email from you. So
I have written every single one of these women back. I have not missed one email, and I'm realizing why my ass has become so flat. And I have dimples all over my thighs now. It's because all my girls, I've been sitting here for a year writing back. And
you're sitting at the computer.
All I do is sit here.
Yeah.
That's all I do. So I need to set up a system, like put a bike or something in my kitchen and have the laptop, you know, in front of the bike.
That's funny. I would love to see a picture of that.
I have to do that. But Dr. Phil is on Rachel Ray. They're cooking right now.
It'd be interesting to see what Dr. Phil cooks.
But you know what? You should look at the set of Rachel Ray's set. Put it on right now on ABC. On her cabinets, in between the wood, they use the chalkboard paint.
Oh, I love chalkboard paint.
I think that's great. And I decided I'm going to paint the front of my refrigerator with chalkboard paint.
You probably could do that. Yeah, that would be fun.
Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be great. Wouldn't your kids love that?
I would love it because I am always misplacing papers. I never know what's going on. I always forget, you know, which kid has, you know, this do, that do. I'm going to write it all over the refrigerator.
And it's so nice that when something's out, you just write a grocery list on the chalkboard paint.
Right, and plus my refrigerator is stainless steel, and I hate it. It always has fingerprints.
Oh, so, yeah, I love how stainless looks, but it is a pain to keep clean. It's just a mess.
It's a nightmare. So I am going to paint my refrigerator with chalkboard paint.
All right, I look forward to hearing about how that goes.
I might do that today. My husband's going to freak out maybe a little bit, but he'll laugh because he knows.
He's probably used to things like that, huh?
He'll laugh. But anyway, girls, I want you to tell all your girls, listen to the Happy Housewives Club podcast, get out there, talk to everyone. Erin, I'm going to let you go take care of your babies.
Okay.
And we will chit-chat again tomorrow.
Sounds great.
Have a great day.
Have a good day, Darla. Bye-bye.
Bye.